Zaccagnino. Mr. Schwing.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning, Mr. Murphy.
May it please the Court, Eric Schwing for Mrs. Zaccagnino, who has become known as Mrs. Z to save mispronunciations in our office. Your Honor, this Court has held on more than one occasion that there's no such thing as guilt by association. We're asking for a holding today to the effect that there is no such thing as guilt by marriage. I know at least one person that would be very reassured by such a holding, my wife. What has happened here, Your Honor, was that Mr. Z, along with some friends, began a scheme where they sold what are referred to as historic bonds, railroad bonds, which they convinced a number of investors held some sort of residual value. And during 1997, 1998, they convinced people to the tune of something like $13 million that these were wise and prudent purchases. Mr. Z pleaded guilty. The scheme went on. There were bogus investments sold, and they sort of switched gears along the way, and the scheme went on until they were all caught. Mr. Z pleaded guilty, and then eventually, after sort of an abortive attempt at a change of plea, Mrs. Z pleaded guilty as well. The court held Mrs. Z responsible. The evidence shows about $21 million total gathered in the course of these various fraudulent activities. Mrs. Z was held responsible by the court at sentencing for the entire amount. The court got there essentially in two ways. The first was through the pre-sentence report. The pre-sentence report said that Mrs. Z made $21 million out of the scheme, and the court adopted that finding. Clearly, Mrs. Z did not make $21 million out of the scheme. That was the whole package. If she made $21 million, Mr. Fishman and Mr. Gates and Mr. Johnson, all the other folks that were involved made nothing. In point of fact, the government's evidence showed that she made about $1.1 million. Now, that finding was adopted by the court, and it can't be right. The evidence contradicts it. The second way that the sentencing court got to the decision of holding Mrs. Z responsible for the entire $21 million was that the court concluded that she knew from day one what was going on. It was hard for the court to imagine that she didn't. And quite frankly, the evidence doesn't support that finding either. The guideline says that you can't be responsible for losses and activities, fraudulent schemes occurring before you joined the conspiracy. Mrs. Z said she became aware of the conspiracy at the tail end of 1998, I believe, or 1999. At any rate, by that time, the bogus railroad bond scheme had pretty much petered out, and the other schemes were going on. Now, I think there's a really good flavor for what went on in this case. If we take a look at Mr. Z's change of plea hearing, where the court started to ask about what his wife knew, and on page 68 of that change of plea hearing, the court said to Mr. Z, quote, maybe we can deal with it this way. Is it fair to say, I'm assuming, based on everything I heard so far, that she understood what was happening? And the response from Mr. Z was, on some things she did and on some things she didn't. And court continues, well, is it fair to say she understood some of this money that was changing hands was the result of mail fraud or wire fraud, that the money was not being invested for the purposes that it was and he was interrupted at that. The court was interrupted at that point. Do you want me to go through each company or just in general? And the court says in general. And Mr. Z says, in general, I don't know how much she was aware of. Now, this is kind of a golden opportunity to flesh this out, but it wasn't Mrs. Z's sentencing hearing. It was Mr. Z's sentencing hearing. But nothing further ever went. There were really only two people that knew, really, how much Mrs. Z knew and when she knew it, which were the two questions that needed to be answered here. Mr. Z and Mrs. Z. Mrs. Z said she didn't know about things until well on into the scheme, end of 1999. And the court assumed that she'd been involved in the beginning. The court made a couple of findings, fact, that weren't quite correct. One of them being that there was no legitimate business ever involved here. There was. They went bankrupt, used car dealer or something like that. Mr. Z offered essentially to tell the court what Mrs. E knew. He was in a mood to confess and rat her out, and that didn't go any further. So there's certainly information available that would support or contradict the only evidence about what she knew and when she knew it, and that was that she didn't know about what was going on until end of 1999. So there are two kinds of holdings that got to this ultimate sentence that Mrs. Z was responsible for $21 million in losses, one of them being that she profited $21 million and she didn't, the other one being that she knew about it from day one, and there simply is no evidence to support what I consider it to be just an assumption. So we're asking, Your Honors, that this matter be remanded so that the appropriate fact-finding can be made, and the important questions that need to be answered here, and they're not answered, is what did Mrs. E know? Is there anything on the record that contradicts what she said she knew? Was halfway through things, and that's when she found out. And what was the scope of the agreement that she joined, quite frankly? Because there's lots of stuff going on here. There's lots of players. There's corporations being formed, and people kind of moving in and out. What was the scope of the agreement that she joined, and when did she join it?
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Mr. Murphy.
May I please the court?
Counsel.
Good morning again. My name is Brad Murphy. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney from Peoria. At the sentencing, the defendant resisted the loss calculation of $21 million by conceding losses in the $5 to $10 million range. The government suggests that those concessions result in a waiver of the argument that's been made before this court. Even if it's not waived, the district court's conclusion that the defendant was involved from the outset and thus responsible for the entire $21.2 million in laundered funds was a reasonable conclusion from the facts presented. Unlike the Leahy case cited by the defendant, there was here substantial evidence linking the defendant to entities whose only purpose was to serve a fraudulent investment scheme. And contrary to what counsel has told you, Judge Meehan did make a considered judgment here. He rejected the defendant's argument that she was not responsible for the $6.8 million from the sale of the historical bonds back in 1997 and 98. He did consider it. His words tell you he did. The judge found that she had served as secretary treasurer for this Wonder Glass, which did no legitimate business. In fact, Wonder Glass was Mr. and Mrs. Zaccanino. There were no other employees, and there was no legitimate business. As someone who held signature authority on the Wonder Glass bank accounts, she knew that no funds were being invested, contrary to the representations being made to investors. Knowing that no money was being invested, she prepared and mailed false statements to the investors. She later, in 1998, incorporates an offshore shell corporation through which she launders $600,000 from the sale of these historical bonds and then spent most of that sum on personal assets.
Now, I noticed the SEC investigated Mr. Murphy, these bond sales, and got an injunction against Peter.
That's correct.
Was there some reason they didn't get it against Peter and Gina? Or Gigi?
Gigi, I believe is her name.
Yeah, Gigi.
No, I don't know the answer to that.
Well, should we draw any inference to be drawn from that? Under your representation of the facts, apparently she was involved at that time, right?
Yes, she was, because she'd been attending meetings where the misrepresentations had been made to the investors. She had even notarized some of the fraudulent documents. I can only describe that as an oversight, Your Honor.
By the SEC?
By the SEC.
For which you don't bear any responsibility.
Pardon?
For which you do not bear any responsibility. Don't take on the FEC. You don't have to.
No, I'm not trying to do that, Judge. It's the government's position that the district court properly found that the government had proven the $21.2 million in loss and that she was part of a fraudulent scheme from the get-go.
That's based all on documentary evidence? Is that it?
That
because your name appears as a corporate officer or had signatory power on an account, that's how you draw the conclusion of equal culpability with Peter.
Not exactly, because she had the signature authority, though. I believe it is a reasonable inference that she knew that misrepresentations were being made because none of the funds that goes into these accounts over that she's controlling is being invested. See, this isn't just a Ponzi. This is not a Ponzi, actually. This is just theft. This money's just taken and spent. She knows this money's not being invested because she controls the bank accounts. And she's attending these meetings where these misrepresentations continue to be made and made and made.
Now, who are in attendance at these meetings? The victims and this couple? Is that who are there?
That's correct.
And do we have any testimony from all these victims as to what her participation was at these meetings? Do we have any of that?
Her participation was in the preparation, at the meetings at least, of the documents.
Well, she wasn't printing the documents. She might have been signing something. Is that what you're
saying?
She was
notarizing the documents and preparing the documents, yes. Lastly, the district court made clear that the defendant's sentence would be 97 months, even if she had been responsible for only the $5 to $10 million that she had conceded in the district court. Thus, no error in calculating the loss affected the district court's choice of the sentence, and the government asked that this sentence be affirmed. Thank you very much.
Mr. Swing.
Your Honor, I think the argument's pretty straightforward and hopefully well presented. If the court has no questions, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Swing. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. Mr. Swing, you have an additional thanks for accepting the appointment in this case.